1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a couple of verses tonight I'd like to give you. And then next Sunday I'd like to finish this chapter, take a little bit more time on these next several verses. Tonight, just verses 16 and 17 to give us a few thoughts. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you that your strength is perfect. Help us, Lord, to therefore glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. For when we are weak, then are we strong. We love you. We bless your name. We ask that you move in the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This section we've entitled, Getting Involved in the Work of God. Getting involved in the work of God. It falls underneath, if you would, the umbrella of senseless divisions in the church. All of these areas that we are addressing are proper ways to deal with these senseless divisions. When carnality is extinguished, so will the divisions. When we are involved in the work of God, setting aside who's who, the divisions will go away. When we are fixated, if you would, on our importance, when we are very intent on being prominent in the church, when the spirit of the flesh is moving more than the Spirit of God, it will perpetuate these divisions that we have very clearly explained from Scripture are senseless. We are not meant to be divided. We are meant to be united. The work of God. We were reminded earlier in this passage that God does the work of saving. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Somebody plants, somebody waters, but God gives the increase. By the way, that's not a method of salvation. That's not one of the ways that God saves. That's not one of the avenues to come to Christ. If you got saved, God saved you. Somebody may have told you. Somebody may have explained it to you. Somebody may have invited you. Somebody may have pressured you. Somebody may have encouraged you. Somebody may have helped you. Somebody may have lived a testimony in front of you that wanted you to inquire where they got it from. But I'm telling you, if you got saved tonight, God did the work. That realization was important for these believers who were linking up with different ministers in the work and forgetting that although there were different ministers, the miracle and the method of getting the ministry done had to be accomplished through the power of God. So now that God does the work, he continued on by saying, since God does the work of saving, he is going to let us get involved in others getting saved. We can't save, but we can be involved in the process. We cannot regenerate, but we can point somebody to the regenerator. We cannot make someone alive, but we can tell a dead man about the one who can. We cannot change a life, but we can show someone the one who can change life. We cannot break the cycle, but we can introduce them to the cycle breaker. We cannot unlock the chain, but we can tell them about the chain breaker. And what child of God who knows that God is at work and allowing him to work with God would turn down that opportunity? We saw the functional togetherness. We are together working with God. I don't want you to ever forget that. That the Christian life is our ability to work with God. Yes, we work for God. Yes, God works in us. But aren't you glad we get to work with God? Amen. I'm glad I get to work for God, but I tell you what, I have a good time working with God. Amen. I know I cannot go astray. I know I'm not going to go down to zero. I know I'm not going to come up with a futile attempt. I know that it's going to work out well if I'm working with God, if he's in control and I'm getting involved in his work. I know that it's a business that will never go bankrupt. The foundational truths of God's word, his sovereign assistance, his grace giving to us, is for us to be involved in structural activity. God gives us grace so that we will build. Amen. It's like working as a builder for someone, and that company pays you to go out and work, and they find out that they're putting money in your pocket to go out and work, and meanwhile, you're taking that money, putting gas in your car, and you're going down the road, and you up hitting golf balls down at Top Golf, and the next moment, you're in the restaurant, eating you some fancy restaurant, and then after that, you leave Ben and Jerry's and get you a Sunday, and then you drive down the road and go visit auntie and them and cousin and them, and after a while, you come back to the business and say, I used up all that gas, I need some more gas, and the camera shows. You were using up the gas, but you weren't using the gas for what they paid you to work for. They're going to tell you, you need to find another job. Here's what they're saying. We don't put gas in your car for you to do what you want to do. We put gas in your car to do what you hired to do. And God doesn't give us grace every day to live like the devil. God gives us grace to build people up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you what you've been using your grace on. The subsequent addition is that while we're involved in structural activity, we're building people up. Did anybody get more bricks put on them this week than they did last week because you took advantage of the grace of God to build them up? The serious admonition is, however, to be careful how you build. Knowing that every Christian was established on the right foundation of Jesus Christ. Every Christian was established on the right foundation of Jesus. I'm so glad I never found one Christian who didn't get saved right. Because in order to be a Christian, you had to get saved right. And in order to get saved right, you had to be built on Christ, a solid rock. That's where you stand because all of the ground is sinking, Sam. I got to be careful how I add to people. The last thing I want to do is to take somebody who got started right and mess them up. That's what he's saying. You Corinthians, when I left you, he said, you were established on the foundation of Christ, but now you have allowed others to come in and build on top of a solid foundation in a way that is not proper. And he reminds you, there's only one foundation, it's Jesus, but make sure that on top of the foundation, you don't build heresy. The final test last week was the judgment seat. Where differing ministries, some of costly materials, some of cheap materials, would go through a definite manifestation, that factual event, that Bema seat, where we will stand as believers, a totally different judgment for unbelievers at the great white throne judgment for the child of God. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and don't think you can send somebody to the event to tell the rest of the people you're not going to make it. You will be there. The fiery examination, every one of our works will go through the fire. The full exposure will show whether or not it was real or not. The determining measure after the manifestation will then be some will be recognized for their commended work, while others will be noticed with consumed worthlessness. Only that which is gold, silver, and precious stones, only those things will go through the fire, and anything that wasn't done right will suffer loss. My friend will be a shameful lesson, because only the life will be saved. When you get to heaven, nothing you have done on earth will get you out of heaven, but how embarrassing it will be to face our Savior with nothing to cast back at his feet. And so he reminds us to build now with later in sight. To let our motivation for the work of God be, one day, we're going to face him. And I want to hear well done. How about you? Tonight, write this down. And I'll let you go home. The functional togetherness, the foundational truths, the final test. Tonight, I'd like you to write down these two words, the favored temple. Remember, we're talking about getting involved in the what? Amen, Brother Ricky. You got it this time. Get involved in the what? The work of God. Come on, join them. Getting involved in the what? Work of God. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't have time for the work of God. Well, guess what? You're not going to get any crowns when you get to heaven for how good you did on your job tomorrow. Or Tuesday if you're off tomorrow. Now, your company may give you a bonus, but God doesn't give you crowns for how many bonuses you got in the social world. God gives you crowns for what you did in his work. Now, here's what Paul is challenging the people. Functional togetherness, you're working with God. Foundational truths, you got to be built on Christ. You got to build up properly, and you better be careful how you build up on others. The final test, God is going to expose whether we did it right. By the way, humans can get evaluations wrong. It's one of the things we learn when we're playing with sports. As long as you have human officials, there are going to be times when they're wrong. And everything is subject to opinion. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, mark it down. Jesus will not be wrong. Okay, you won't be up there throwing a challenge flag. Lord, I think you might need to go review that. God doesn't need to review anything. God doesn't need to replay anything. God doesn't need a delegated jury. God doesn't need any witnesses to speak on your behalf. God saw what you did, and he's simply going to show you through the fire, not to find out for himself, but for you to get it revealed to you. For me. The favorite temple. Tonight, thinking about the work of God, I want you to think about your temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Write this down. Paul wants to make the Corinthians informed saints. Know ye not? While you're sitting around talking about who you're with, who you're for, whose group you're in, do you not know that your bodies, that you are the temple of God? Literally means the dwelling place of God, the informed saints, the indwelling spirit, where the spirit of God dwells. Watch this now. Y'all up there talking about, I'm with Paul, I'm with Apollos, I'm with Cephas. Have you forgotten, child of God, that while you work for God and while you work with God and while you're involved in the work of God, the spirit of God lives inside of you? That's favor. I got to thinking as I was looking over my notes for tonight, when that immaculate temple was built. Remember, David wanted to, but God said, I'm not going to have you do it. I have Solomon do it. Could you imagine touring that ornate facility, looking at all of that and how God's specific instructions were given and what they were supposed to overlay things with and the gold that was there and all of the beautiful decor that was there and there in that very precious place where God's presence was. I mean, good night. Solomon, the richest man on all of the earth, one of the richest men, if not the richest, that was in all of the Bible to build that beautiful temple. Can you imagine those who had the great privilege to look upon it with great admiration and great awe, but those who had the privilege of going inside of it and ministering before the Lord, those priests that were there and those people that were there to be able to be involved in that temple. And when that temple was built, God sent his glory down to simply say, this is where I'm going to dwell. This is where my spirit is going to dwell. It was in a building. Oh, what a joy it was for the people of God to go to a building and know that God was in that building. But Paul said, Corinthians, you're missing it. In this day, God didn't send his spirit in a building. He's put his spirit in your bodies. Amen. If you really knew that, would you be acting like that? Wow. Informed. So here's what he's saying. Live this week as a Christian like you know who you are. And live this week as a Christian like you know God lives inside of you. Talk like God lives there. Look like God lives there. Come on. Behave like God lives. Dress like God lives. React like God lives. Don't act like the devil lives inside of you. Act like God lives inside of you. Informed saints. indwelling spirit. Write this down. There is an indicting sentence. We just talked about the judgment seat a few verses before. Look at how God says he's going to deal with us on earth if we don't properly work for him. We already found out what he's going to do in heaven if we didn't properly work for him. He's not going to allow our work to last and we won't be rewarded. Come on now. But God said, not only will you not be rewarded in heaven for not working right, I'm going to deal with you on earth for not working right. And I'll close here. Two words in this passage that I want you to look at. Verse 17, if any man what? Defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Two words I want you to circle in your Bible. Circle the word defile and circle the word destroy. One is spelled D-E-S-T-R-O-Y. The other is spelled D-E-F-I-L-E. Here's what I want you to put in your Bible. There are two words spelled differently in English, but they're the same Greek word. Phthiro, it is in the Greek. And it's important for us to understand it. The word destroy there and the word defile there have the same meaning. And in this instance, as we would know it in English, the word destroy means defile. Here's what defile and destroy mean in this verse. Ruin. I want us to read the verse with the definition inserted instead of those two words. Are you ready? We're going to replace defile and destroy with ruin. Everybody ready? Verse 17. Ready? Begin. If any man ruin the temple of God, him shall God ruin. Watch it now. Now, God, watch this now. God's not talking to lost people. Here's what God is saying. The moment you get saved, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of you. You belong to God. Because you belong to God, you should work for him like you belong to him. Now watch this now. When you don't live right as a Christian, here's what he's saying. You're ruining your temple. And when you decide with the Holy Ghost inside of you to ruin your temple, there comes a time, even as a heaven-bound child of God, where your Father has to ruin you. And there are some Christians, and the Bible substantiates it. There are some Christians who did not properly honor God with their temple. God took them. There are some believers who do not properly honor God with their temple, and God lets them live, but they're living a ruined life. Listen to me. They couldn't go to hell if they tried. Amen. If you're saved, you can't go to hell if you try. You can't even go visit. Why would you want to anyway? You can't see nothing. You can't go to hell if you try. Jesus paid it. The devil can't have you back. Sin can't bring you back over. And death cannot send you down there. You're going to heaven and it's a done deal. But on earth, God has favored you by living inside of you. And how you work for God determines how you're utilizing his spirit that lives in you. And here's Paul's challenge to these Corinthians who were hung up on cliques. Informed saints, do you not know your body is God's temple? The indwelling spirit, do you not know the spirit lives inside of you? Indicted sentence, do you know if you defile your temple, God will destroy you? Here's what God is saying, believer. Just because you're not going to hell, you won't be at the great white throne judgment, and you can't lose your salvation, does not mean you get to live however you want to. You got to get this mindset out of your thought process. You got to quit thinking, I'm saved, I'm in, I'll never get plucked out, I'll never go to hell, I'll never lose my salvation, so I can live like the devil, act like I never got saved, go where I want to go, dress how I want to dress, act what I want to act. At the end of the day, the blood of Jesus has covered me, I'm going to heaven. And God said, you may go to heaven, but I might have to ruin you on earth. Why? Because as an informed saint, an indwelling spirit with an indicting sentence, you must remember you have an intended sanctification. And here it is. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And look here, and I'm done. Christian, the life that you have in Jesus was never intended to be lived how you want to live. We have got to get this mindset that God is not being fair when he doesn't let us do what we want to do. Listen to me. We belong to him. And his temple is meant to be holy because we are his temple. Now, as you work for God and with God this week, above everything you do in your Christian life, remember this. God's temple is holy, and you are God's temple. If you will live thinking that way, it'll change a whole lot of what we do. Because after all, God didn't save us to be happy. He saved us to be holy. Father, thank you. Sometimes we don't even realize how ungrateful we are that you chose to dwell in us. You could have picked anything. You could have picked some other object. You could have even designed for certain buildings alone to house you. But you chose to place your spirit in us. Help us to live like we know that. And help us to be holy like we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.